Майкл Чехов.
Михаил Чехов.
Михаил Чехов.
Майкл Чехов.
Михаил Чехов.
Михаил Чехов.
Imagine this. A famous actor and teacher spends 20 years developing a psychophysical tool for actors. This tool links the creative power of the imagination with the dynamic physical expression of the body. Michael Chekhov began exploring and laying the groundwork to teach this tool in his homeland of Russia, and continued to develop it after fleeing his home country and working on the stages and film sets of Europe and the United States. Inspired by the many students he worked with along the way, he explored a variety of ways to embody and speak about and write about this tool known as the psychological gesture. And it has become the aspect of Chekhov's technique most popularly associated with him today. His 20-year journey offers many insights into the various ways of teaching psychological gesture in the classroom now. You are listening to A Glimpse of a Beautiful World, a podcast that gives you a glimpse into the work of artists who are part of the international Michael Chekhov community. I'm Jessica Cerullo, the artistic director of MISHA, the Michael Chekhov Association, and what you're about to hear is a report given by acting pedagogues Declan Drouin and Jörg Andres, in which they consider the process of teaching psychological gesture. How, for example, does sound and image and the placement of that image inform gesture work? What are the implications of working with archetypal gesture as a preparation to exploring psychological gesture? And what are the specific reasons to use psychological gesture in the first place? I invite you to listen as Declan and Jörg discuss these questions and more.
I felt perhaps that because it's the best known tool in the arsenal, it's the tool that people outside this room know about, that it has a different kind of feel or status for people. Jörg reminded us that Chekhov himself points us to architecture, plant life and nature to find the form for gesture. And he talked about a trip to conducting some training in America in 1998, where people were surprised that he started from this point. Because I think mostly in my experience of this work these days, people start with archetypal gesture to work in. Did you want to speak to that?
I was doing that with the trees in Connecticut. And that was, as I got from Mala and from Joanna, that they were surprised a little bit that we were going out to the trees and making that. But for me, it was very clear that we do that.
That was a good starting point.
To find a way to come to the psychological gesture.
Yeah. You said as well, just to remind you, when you started about talking with plants, trees, and objects that we're looking at, the potential of movement, sensation, qualities, and awareness, that's the starting point. Uli interjected at this point. He was saying here people have always used plants in nature, and I think that's to do with the setting and what's around us, that it was a natural way to go with that work. He also talked about sometimes, because perhaps people start with archetypal gestures and move to psychological gestures, that it can become very generalized and not really connected to a core. People are making big, beautiful shapes that have no force or content, Uli felt. So again, back to where Jörg went with this next, he was saying, well, what is our specific aim for working with psychological gesture? Is it for the contents of a specific word? Is it for an entire speech, the structure of a play, just one scene, or to define the character? That we have to be clear what specifically we're using it for. And there was a phrase when you searched in English to find a phrase, you said something I thought was very elegant. You said, to work for something you want to reach. The psychological gesture is to work for something you want to reach. And so I can hear in that phrase the formation of a psychological gesture almost. Tomo at this point talked about connections between Stanislavski and Chekhov, movement and intention. You drew it back to talking about Well, what is all of this in relation to me? I am not the object. I am sending to the object. If it's and if this process becomes internalized, it will affect every piece of text, all business, and all movement in the work we do. And in this discussion about the difficulties of teaching this particular tool, you reminded us, Jörg, that Chekhov himself formalized his approach to this over 20 years. So maybe it shouldn't be quick and easy and is a process. Yeah, it shouldn't be. It's not like instant mashed potato. You know, it's something we have to work for. And you reminded us again, it begins with a relationship to myself, images, movement, space, that there is a layering, that there's a process. And again, common to another session we were both in yesterday, there was the reminder that certain aspects of what we work with are basic first layer tools in teaching psychophysical technique. There are certain exercises and tools that must be introduced as a groundwork before we can elaborate or become, I suppose, more sophisticated in the work. And the first matter for consideration was when to introduce the tool of psychological gesture, when in this, in the first layering of psychophysical training, we introduced this tool. And I think there were some echoes of a conversation that Jörg had already had with Craig around this. And Craig talked about in a one semester program, it doesn't go at the beginning. It comes towards the end. But John in the group talked here about that basically it was clear that the gestures we know from the famous illustrations of gesture in Chekhov come from eurythmy. The gestures arise out of sound and colour. And in each gesture, there's a feeling and it starts with sound. And Tomo talked about his work in that process too. And he talked about while working with purely with this, it was a wonderful tool for harmonizing, but perhaps not for characterization because it was too harmonic and didn't have, I suppose, the jaggedness of characterization.
I think that was going to that, what Chekhov is also naming about eurythmy and speech on the technique of acting, and that he speaks about that this given from Steiner is in a more subjective in this meaning, and that we as actors have to make it very specific.
Yes.
And that was a little bit the point to find out in relation to the psychological gesture, what we have to focus the specific.
And you brought it back to a very clear point here that when a character arrives on stage, apparently doing nothing, the inner spine of the character is revealed. What you are radiating when you're apparently doing nothing is, if your psychological gesture isn't doing that, perhaps it's not a psychological gesture. It's revealed even in the stillness of the character, yeah? Then you introduced an exercise-ish. You asked us to consider the little blue plastic cup in the center of the circle. You asked us to regard and, first of all, to imitate the form of the plastic blue cup, crudely, physically, to take that on, to mimic that. You then reminded us that that's not enough. We can't be a blue plastic cup. We can't be the totality of what that is. So you added the layer of imagination. And then the third step, when we move beyond that, was to look at the materiality of the cup, the colour, and to work with those. And from those layers, we have the beginning of what we called yesterday the soul of the cup, or the inner state of the blue plastic, or the personality of the cup was. And again, if we're looking for, if this is a river and we're looking for a starting point for psychological gesture, this was very, very concrete and specific, which were words that kept coming up yesterday. You asked us some very interesting questions about where do we sense the image of the character is coming from in this work? And without an image of the character, we cannot make a psychological gesture.
When you have this image of a character,
where you place it,
where you see it.
Okay.
And this is a question about in relationship to yourself, let's say, in relation to your body.
Uli saw it moving around the room, John said it, well, Tomo said the impulse came from here, but it was in front of him. And you suggested, quite rightly, that we should, for maximum use of the image, we put it behind us. Otherwise, there's problems with how we sync them, our movement with the image in terms of almost it being a mirror. So behind us, our eyes are free and clear, and from behind is clearer and better.
The point is first to recognize where do you sense you see the image. Mm. Second is then you want to work with it for the aim of the psychological gesture. That means, do you stay in this place with the image where you have already seen it, the spontaneous space? Or is it possible to have a specific working space? And my suggestion is for finding the psychological gesture, because it is an exploration process, and it is not a given process. And this exploration process is only in relationship to your image of the character, or let's say the imagination of the character. So where do you see this character while you are working at the same time with your body to find out what is possibly the psychological gesture? Out of that, the suggestion, try to work, put this image behind you and have out of that a very, very clear relationship to the image. Mm. What is the first thing? Then you need inside the relationship to your body and movement so that you can sense what the movement you are doing out of the relationship to this image, how it speaks to you. Mm. And out of that you can work out more and more this psychological gesture. This is all about an exploration process, as I found it even in Chekhov's book as a suggestion.
You say we conduct this because we don't have all the information, and this is why we conduct this work, and we need to create the relationship with the image. So there was a wonderful question at this point of, is the image a person? Is the image, does it have a human form? And it was a wonderful example of, no, it could be a lady's red shoe in one example yesterday. And as we spoke those words, about three people in the group became red shoes. It was that immediate an image and acted on people immediately. So again, you asked us to consider towards the end of the conversation, that in this work, the image becomes a being, a presence, and you know what to ask this. We're looking for questions of form, materiality, imagination, color, and also to remember the relationship of what we're making to heaven and earth and how we are suspended between the two. That there's a concrete rootedness to what we do. And then out of this, a movement arrives, was how you put it. A full body movement initially, which then can be internalized or shrunk. There was also some discussion, quite a number of, because this is a very detailed, layered conversation, about translation of specific phrases in Russian, German, etc., and that psychological gesture maybe can be misleading for people. And another phrase that you spoke about was soul gesture, which gives us a very different flavor, very different taste. There was another piece too, this is my final point. There was a lovely confusion. You said, oh, it's my English. We were talking about, are we testing or tasting? And I actually thought both words were very useful for this work in terms of what they give us. And that's it. Thank you very much. Well done.
You've been listening to Declan Drouin from Ireland and Jörg Andres from Germany speak at the Misha Michael Chekhov Europe 2018 retreat, hosted by Studio Chekhov Croatia and the University of Zagreb. Contributing members of Declan and Jörg's group were Ulrich Meyerhorsch and Magdalena Schlarer from Germany, Tomo Akie from Japan, Gretchen Egolf from the UK, Ophir Duan from Israel, Letizia Scontini from Uruguay, Peggy Coffey from Canada, and Craig Mathers and John McManus from the United States. If you're interested in learning more about Michael Chekhov's approach to psychological gesture, read his book, To the Actor on the Technique of Acting, published by Routledge. You can stream a masterclass from our website that features Chekhov's student, Joanna Merlin, as she teaches psychological gesture. You can find it on the resources pages at michaelchekhov.org. Better yet, join us at one of Misha's annual international workshops and festivals. It's held each summer at Connecticut College. This episode of A Glimpse of a Beautiful World was field recorded by Sabina Rogers and edited by Luigi DeBrito and Gary Grundy, with music composed and performed by me, Jessica Cerullo, and Gary. A Glimpse of a Beautiful World was produced by Misha, the Michael Chekhov Association, attending to Michael Chekhov's legacy since 1999. MichaelChekhov.org. Always strives for more life.